Reading is from Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 to 25. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters, and you do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment. You shall love your neighbour as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now, the works of the flesh are obvious. Fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like this. I am warning you as I warned you before. Those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, competing against one another and envying one another.
Heavenly Father, each one of us comes to you this morning, well, at any moment, in an entirely different place from the person next to us. We all stand at different places along our path of learning how to be human and how to be like you, or even understanding you, or even understanding ourselves. So as we think about this passage, by your Spirit, meet us where we are and help us to understand what there is in this for us this morning that can help us on the journey as we travel through the rest of the week. We ask these things in Christ's name. When you're in the sort of position I'm in now, standing in front of a bunch of people with a Bible in your hand, well, no, not that everybody is, but I'm always terribly conscious that what you're doing is you're opening up this book from where you're coming from, not where everybody else is coming from. Marius is a very different bloke to me. He's got young kids. My kids have got young kids. In a few years, these young kids are going to have young kids. You know, we're in different places. Lucy plays a piano and half runs a school. And a husband and kids. And I've got a degree in theology, but what does that mean other than 40 years ago I studied and got a piece of paper from the studies? We all come to this from different places. So I almost feel like saying I'm sorry. Because as I open it up, it It's going to say things to me, but it'll say different things to you. And it'll mean different things to you. So, I'm growing. Shorter. But my pathway is very different to yours. But somehow or other, it is the same God who's giving us life. It is the Spirit of Christ that, if our hearts and our minds are open to it, are leading us on to become more and more in the image of Christ. I think that's the aim of the Christian life, to be renewed into the image of Christ so that we can be Christ's blessing to our world. So I ask you to listen to what I'm saying, because this is where God is with me, and understand that that might somehow or other tap into something that God is wanting to do with you. It's a process, it's a dialogue. The difficulty with the dialogue is that I'm the one up here at the front talking, but I'm terribly conscious that the real conversation is going on between you and God. And all I can do is hopefully facilitate some of that conversation along the way. Now, the whole basis of saying that is that the fruits that we're talking about in here are fruits of the Spirit. Listen to Paul's language a bit. It starts off very oppositional. There's contrasts all through it. You were called to freedom, brothers and sisters, only don't use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. The beginning of the sentence, freedom, at the end of the sentence, slaves. What's going on in Paul's mind? All right, I'll tell you what this did to Bruce Waldron as he was reading it. His mind went back about 55 years. My brother Greg, as my Aunt Molly used to call him, dear effervescent Greg. Greg died a couple of years ago. We had a garage out on the Goulburn Valley Highway, 91 miles past Melbourne, north. And people used to come into that garage travelling through to Melbourne, and you'd meet them. Some people you got to know because they came through pretty regularly. And there was a family that used to come through pretty regularly from Benalla, heading for Melbourne, and instead of going down the Hume Highway, they used to cut across and come down past Murchison East. And their daughter was a blonde bombshell. Well, Greg thought she was a blonde bombshell. I thought she was too, actually. I was only about 10 years old, I suppose. Greg was about 5 years older than me. He just turned 16, actually. Now, Benalla is 50 miles from Murchison East. And Greg decided one day, he said, I think I'll go for a bike ride, Mum. She said, where are you going, Greg? So I thought I'd cycle over to Benalla. Greg had never cycled further than Shepparton. It was only 22 miles away. And there was a hill between Murchison East and Benalla. Us boys didn't know what hills were because Goulburn Valley is very flat. It's like the Fens. Well, Greg set off for Benalla on his bike. It was a bit of a clanky old thing he rode. And he got there and found that the family had gone out. He was hoping to surprise her on the doorstep. So he rode back home, and I can still remember him coming in, absolutely exhausted. But, you know, the things you do for love. Love is an immense motivator, isn't it? You do things for love that you wouldn't do. There's a lady, one of the staff at Warrigal High School when I was the chaplain there, and the kids said to her, what'd you get married for? And she said, oh, because of the freedom it gives you. The kid said, what? And she said, yeah. She said, when I got married to my husband, I had the freedom to love him completely. Isn't that a lovely way to look at marriage? The things you do for love. So Paul mixes up language about freedom and being a slave. Slave not quite meaning the same thing as the image that's in our minds, which is, of course, of that incredible thing that happens where human beings used to go across to Africa and rip people out of their homes and make them slaves. And that happens today where people get ripped out of their homes and turned into slaves, but it's undercover. Slavery in those days for a lot of people was a means of security, but it was also a means of bondage. And Paul was terribly conscious, and he talks sometimes about being a prisoner of Christ, because in his experience of Jesus, his experience of not just the light that he saw on that road to Damascus, but the sense of being loved and forgiven, Paul fell in love with Christ. And when he did that, he said, I became a prisoner of Christ for love. So Paul's using oppositional languages, but in ways that we can understand. We all, I think most of us know what it's like to be a prisoner of love, to be in love with someone and willing to do anything for that person we love. We understand that. Even if we're not in that position, we understand it. That's what Paul's talking about as he starts to open up the idea of the fruits of the Spirit. And as he gets into it, he talks about the spirit of the flesh is opposed to the spirit of Christ. And he puts two lots of things in opposition to each other. Yvonne read them a little while ago. It's really interesting the way these two oppositions work with each other. Now you'd think, when you read this, Paul says, live by the Spirit, he says, all those things that Yvonne read out, fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing and things like these. I'm warning you, as I warned before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. What's he talking about? Paul, who says all the time, it's not the works you do that put you into the kingdom of God, but the grace of Christ, the forgiveness, the love of God around you that brings you into the kingdom. And it's love for the grace and the goodness. Sounds here like he's saying it's all about what you do. But I think actually it's quite simple. Those things that he's talking about, what he talks about, the works of the flesh. You read through them, and what you're reading is all the things that happen when people see other people as objects, as something to be exploited, as something there for their benefit. All the works of the flesh that he talks about, all those things, are when people are thinking about other human beings as an exploitational object, a device for their gratification. And when he turns to the fruits of the Spirit, suddenly you're talking about words that imply an understanding that when I meet another person, that person is there to be blessed by my presence. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So is Paul saying, well, we've got to be really nice and good people? No, he's saying a lot more than that. I think Paul is going back to first principles. First principles are this. God has created out of love you. Me, the people around us, the things that sustain us in our world, everything from the mosquitoes through to the mammoths, except we haven't got any mammoths left. I wish we didn't have any mosquitoes left. And when I meet you, my understanding as a person who's trying to follow Christ is that there is the design of God in you. It might not be fully realized, because it's certainly not fully realized, not by a long shot. But it's there. Intention of God in you. And if the Spirit of Christ is at work in me or in you, when we meet another person, what we see is not something that is there for my needs, for my gratification, for my purposes. But what I see is the design of God. Longing for full expression. Longing that that design is fully realized, and understanding that if I am an agent, an instrument of God, then every desire I've got is within you, in my actions with you. I will be helping to release the full design of God for your life. Because God loves you, God loves me. We're held together in the love of God. The Spirit of Christ is at work in me and in you. And the interaction is there for that purpose. The fruit of the Spirit comes from a very different place to the works of the fruit of the flesh. I sometimes worry, you know, that, I mean, I'm part of the capitalist world, but I sometimes worry that the capitalist world has sort of transmogrified to a concept that sees almost everything as being out there to be exploited by me for my benefit so that I can climb higher on the pile. And I think sometimes that infests itself into the way we see ourselves and the people around us. And I think it's got a lot to do with the way that our whole world, our advertising campaigns, our whole economic structure, talking about permanent growth, is all about that out there which is there to be exploited for my satisfaction and gratification. And that, if it is allowed to continue, will destroy this planet and the people on it. And at the personal level, it destroys us. The Spirit of Christ sees things in a different way. As I look at you, I see the love of creation. Maybe not fully realized in all its potential, and certainly when you look at me, you see the love of creation of God, not fully realized in all its potential. But if Christ is in me, when I look at you, I've got to see you with the love that Christ has for you. And if it happens fully, God help us to ever achieve this, then the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. Joy, peace, patience, that's the one. I get so annoyed with myself when I can't remember things. So impatient with myself. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The fruits of the Spirit. Because the fruits of the Spirit are to create. Because God is creator. The others are destructive. Fruits of the Spirit of love. The other only loves me. I wonder if that's what we'll get across at the holiday club when we do it. I hope it is. But we'll see. I wonder if that's what I'll get across as I travel through this day alongside of other human beings. I guess I'll find out. And we pray. Heavenly Father, you've given us life. And you've given us life for purpose. And you've told us through your Son that He is with us. told us through your Son that we are in him and him in us, working out his purposes. So may the fruits of the Spirit work out through us, we pray. Wherever we are, whatever our circumstances, whatever our state of mind, whatever our finances, whatever the challenges that sit before us, may the Spirit be alive in us to bless our